All right, the next item on the agenda is Tanner Landing Associates. That's you again, Tracy?
Kathy, oh, excuse me, Michelle, I'd like to go right to the slides, please. This is a formal restoration hearing concerning unauthorized channel dredging and failure to comply with special conditions contained within an unexecuted permit for dredging at the property of Tanner Landing Associates, LLC, which is situated along the Lafayette River in Norfolk. The commission considered this project three separate times over the last couple of months. It was considered at the December 2005 meeting, the January 2006 meeting, and again at the February 2006 meeting. So these may look very familiar to you. The project is located here, adjacent to the Granby Street Bridge in the city of Norfolk. It's a recent aerial. The reasons commission had considered this project so many times, it was a page two item in December with a recommendation for approval with the assessment of a royalty based on the December 1st initiation of royalties. The agent at the time protested the assessment of a royalty for the project. The commission reconsidered it in January and approved the project as proposed per staff's recommendation with the inclusion of a royalty. That time, staff was recommending an annual royalty for the piers associated with this project. At the February meeting, as per the applicant's request, commission voted to change that to a one-time royalty as opposed to an annual royalty. So that's the reason that you've seen this so many times so far. On April 12th of this year, staff received an inquiry regarding the status of a dredging permit for an adjacent property owner, Mr. Chris McCoy, which is this property here. Mr. McCoy had submitted an application to dredge a channel for his own boats, which would connect to the dredge channel, the dredge basin, which was located here, to accommodate slips for a condo development, which you see is going up here. After a conversation with Mr. McCoy's agent, Tom Langley, staff realized that the pre-dredge conference, which is a standard VMRC permit condition, had not yet been held for Tanner's Landing. Mr. Langley, when he called inquiring about Mr. McCoy's permit, mentioned that the Salmon's dredging was on site at Tanner's Landing and that Mr. McCoy was hoping to utilize Mr. Salmon's services while he was there. According to a correspondence staff received from Mr. Wade Thomas, dredging operations were initiated on April 10th. That was 2 days before staff had received the phone call inquiring about Mr. McCoy's permit. Again, as I stated, staff realized that a pre-dredge conference hadn't been held. So we went and pulled the file, which is when we realized that the permit had not actually been executed, royalty had not been paid, and there was a complete lack of adherence to all the special conditions contained within the draft permit. Which included 15 days notification prior to the start of activities, that a VMRC issued permit certification placard, which is distributed with the final permit. Once you pay for that and you sign and notarize, you get the final placard. That's required to be displayed at the work site. And, of course, a pre-dredge conference, which is required to be held within 7 days prior to the commencement of dredging activities. None of those conditions were met. On April 17th, staff telephoned the project agent for Tanner's, which also happened to be Tom Langley again, to inquire regarding the lack of compliance with the VMRC permit conditions. At that time, Mr. Langley stated he was no longer involved with the Tanner's Landing project, so staff immediately turned around and contacted the permittee and property owner, Mr. Tony Collins, to inquire about the initiation of the dredging in the absence of the permit and without adherence to any of the special conditions that were contained in that draft permit. At that time, staff requested that Mr. Collins cease dredging of the operations until we could straighten things out. Mr. Collins made a phone call and then returned staff's phone call declining to do so since the dredging was nearly complete by that time. Staff conducted an on-site inspection with a representative from the Army Corps of Engineers on April 20th. Let me go ahead and show you some of those pictures. Again, this is the project that commission approved several times, which was a community pier facility for the condos with 10 slips and a basin to be dredged here. I highlighted the depth contours. Normally, staff requires that drawings are submitted with mean low water being zero. These were submitted with a datum NAVD 88, which mean low water is actually minus 1.36. So I gave you the conversions here. But the point of this slide is more to show where the contours were. You can see they were nice, regular, pretty smooth depth contours, the basin to be dredged here. The side view drawing, again, just to remind you, to minus 5 and then to minus 6 and then to connect with existing depths. This is what staff found when we went on site on the 20th. You see the excavators here and the containment barge here were still on site, but it was obvious that they were demobilizing, that they were finished with dredging at the time. The barges, which you'll see in the photographs coming up, were moored within jurisdictional wetlands and within what appeared to be an unauthorized channel. We're not sure here if this is spillage or if this was from pushing the barge up against the shoreline while making the channel. You'll see here, it's a nice sunny day, the dredge cut in the shallows. Here nearby is the barge. This is the other side of the barge. Cut right here into tidal jurisdictional wetlands. Area spillage, as I said, were visible. Staff spoke to the site superintendent at that time, Mr. Fred Lemon. Mr. Lemon had a copy of the Army Corps of Engineers permit and of the VIMS report on site. When staff spoke to Mr. Collins on the phone on April 17th, he had his unexecuted VMRC permit for the project in his possessions. According to his May 8th letter, which is in your packet, he was out of the country from March 30th and from April 10th. He was in Europe. The construction schedule that he was aware of had indicated that the dredging was to take place this summer. As a result, Mr. Collins was unaware that his failure to execute his VMRC permit prior to his trip to Europe would have had any impact on the construction of the facility. The dredging began without his knowledge at the direction of his contractor on the day of his return. Mr. Collins states in his letter that both he and the contractor relied on the reported expertise of the dredging subcontractor, which is Solomon's Dredging. In a May 3, 2006 letter, Mr. Wade Thomas, who is the project manager and Mr. Collins' contractor of Mideastern Builders Incorporated, stated that he had received the VIMS report and the permit from the Army Corps of Engineers on November 2005. MEB contacted Mr. Chris Flint of Flint Construction for a cost proposal for the pier and for the dredging. Flint Construction recommended MEB contact Mr. Salmons for Salmon dredging. According to Mr. Thomas's letter, a copy of the Army Corps Engineers permit was forwarded to Mr. Salmons by Flint Construction. In April, Salmons notified MEB that they could initiate dredging operations immediately that had a window opening. MEB, believing that all the permits had been secured, released Salmons to commence dredging operations. Dredging began on April 10th. Again, staff became aware of it on April 12th. The dredging was completed by April 20th. Mr. Grab gave you a brief presentation on this violation at last month's commission meeting. Following that meeting, Mr. Tom Langley submitted correspondence, which is also in your packet, stating that his services were not retained beyond the original permit approvals for the project, and he had no knowledge of the violation. Our permit, however, was forwarded directly to Tanner's Landing in care of Tom Langley for its execution. In our April 25th notice to comply, Mr. Collins was directed to provide a post-dredge survey for the entire dredging area, including any illegal dredged areas. That's what's on the screen there, and I realize that is entirely too small for you to read, so I will point out some highlights. I do have a full-scale copy, if the commission would like to take a look at that so that you have a better feeling for the details. As you can imagine, there's no way to scan something that big to make it this small for presentation. Post-dredge survey was received on May 10th. The boat basin, previously considered by the commission, has been overdredged by what appears to be a vast majority of the area, on average by greater than about a half a foot. In some locations, over a foot additional depth has been dredged. In addition, an approximately 190-foot long by 60-foot-wide illegal access channel was dredged from the authorized basin through both subaqueous lands and jurisdictional tidal wetlands to the upland. Mr. Robert Kennedy of East Coast Hydrographics, who is the gentleman who produced the post-dredge survey, estimates the total illegal excavation to be 582 cubic yards. And I'll go ahead and walk you through this so you can see what it is I'm talking about. I'm going to start at the land. Here are the impacts to jurisdictional wetlands, which will be addressed by the Norfolk Wetlands Board at their upcoming meeting. Second would be this illegal channel, which was dredged from the basin, which is here, into the land. This blue highlight is the one-foot contour line. And just some example, because, again, I realize you can't read these numbers, some example readings of what depths are at certain areas adjacent to the dredged channel. Some depths inside the channel, minus all in excess of 4.5 feet deep. I threw this up just so that you can compare. You see this line goes all the way into shore. Clearly there was no depth like that here in the application drawing. So it's clear that this has been cut by the dredger. The basins, this basin here was authorized to go to minus 5. This section here to go to minus 6. Some example depths, just at the worst parts. Again, this area was allowed to go to minus 5. There's a hole here to minus almost 6.5. This area, which was supposed to go to minus 6, you see you have a spot here almost to minus 7. According to conversations the staff has had with both Mr. Collins and Mr. Thomas, the purpose of the legal channel was to allow the barges to offload dredged material into trucks for the material disposal at Upland Site in Chesapeake. Permits obtained for this project authorized the disposal of the dredged material at Craney Island, not in Upland disposal. As a result of the decision by Sammons to unilaterally change the disposal plan without authorization, resulted in additional unanticipated subaqueous and wetland impacts, unanticipated and unauthorized. You'll notice my staff report says that as of this, the writing of the report, staff has had no contact with Salmon Dredgings or Flint Construction. That is no longer the case. I have spoken to both the gentlemen. There is a letter contained in your packet from Salmon Dredging, and I noticed this morning as I came in that Mr. Flint is here and would be available for any questions. He has chosen not to submit a written statement. He chose to come in person. In summary, commission permits are not final until a document has been signed, notarized, and properly executed. This is clearly stated in our letter to the applicant, which is also in your packet. As such, dredging at this site has taken place in the absence of proper authorization from this agency. Further compounding the situation was the applicant's lack of adherence to the proposed draft permit conditions, and they've directly resulted in unauthorized impacts to state-owned submerged lands and jurisdictional tidal wetlands. According to correspondence from Mr. Collins, Mr. Thomas, and Mr. Langley, this dredging violation was a result of a series of miscommunications. It is clear to staff that all of the unauthorized impacts could have easily been avoided. All persons the staff has spoken to who were directly involved with this vessel violation have stated they were in possession of a copy of the permit issued by the Army Corps of Engineers. That's also in your packet. The permit clearly states Number one, that the Army Corps of Engineers shall be notified prior to the initiation of the permitted activity. I've checked with my Army Corps of Engineers representative. That was not done. Number two, that the dredge material must be transported to the Craney Island material area, and the permittee must apply. Number three, the permittee must apply and be granted for a permit modification prior to changing any aspects of the permit. In addition, in capital letters in the Army Corps of Engineers permit, it clearly states you may not begin work until you have obtained a permit from the Virginia Marine Resources Commission. Again, all that information is in your packet. Staff is unclear how or why the permittee, personnel from an experienced and reputable construction firm, and an experienced marine dredging contractor all neglected to notice or heed this explicit language contained in the Army Corps of Engineers permit. Staff is particularly concerned with the activities of salmon dredging. As a marine dredger with many years of experience, the apparent complete disregard for the permitting process and the regulatory process is inexcusable. In addition, staff is currently investigating the same dredger's association with the dredging violation in Virginia Beach. Also not mentioned in staff's evaluation was that there has been a previous concern in dealing with Mr. Tom Langley and Salmon's dredging for a project called J. Carter Luck, where the pre-dredge conference was not held, as was required by the VMRC permit. As such, staff recommends a triple permit fee of $300, the assessment of triple royalties in the amount of $4,321.80 for the unauthorized dredging of 2,401 cubic yards of material at the maximum rate of 60 cents a cubic yard. Staff also recommends that significant civil charges be considered for the applicant and the contractor, but especially the dredging subcontractor, of up to $10,000 for each violation in lieu of further enforcement action. Clearly, Salmon's Dredging is guilty of dredging state-owned bottom without a permit, which is a violation of 28.2.1203A of the Code of Virginia, and is a Class 1 misdemeanor. They're also subject to the assessment of civil penalties by the appropriate circuit court in the amounts not to exceed $25,000 per day for each violation. Staff considers this violation to have resulted in a significant degree of environmental impact and a major degree of deviation and noncompliance. We would also recommend that the Commission consider filing a written complaint over the performance of salmon dredging with the State Board of Contractors.
Questions for Tracy from the Commission? Mr. Garrison.
Ms. West, when you found out about this and you talked to Mr. Collins, what was his answer? You said he called you back and said, we're almost finished, we're going ahead and do it?
Yes, sir. That's correct. Staff does not have the authority on my level to issue a stop work order. I explained that to Mr. Collins, but politely requested that he cease until we could get things straightened out. He made a few phone calls and telephoned me back and said they were almost done. They'd like to just go ahead and finish.
He gave no reason for the change in venue or putting the material upland rather than Craney Island?
He did not say so directly. In conversations with the contractor, it's my understanding with MEB, Mr. Thomas, that Salmon's Dredging stated we'll be taking that material to Higgerson Buchanan, and MEB Contractors was not aware that that would be an issue one way or the other. They don't normally dredge, MEB Contractors. They build buildings.
So we are assuming that when the material went to Higgerson Buchanan, it was on an approved site.
Yes, sir. I have nothing in writing. I cannot confirm or deny that, but I am assuming and crossing my fingers that that was transported correctly in sealed dump trucks, as Mr. Grab discussed earlier, and that was taken to the...
Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one follow-up question. The permit, when it was issued, did it include an over-dredging tolerance? Is there any allowance for that in the permit, Tracy?
I did not include a specific condition. Generally, staff allows for about 6 inches.
About how much? Excuse me.
Six inches.
And you've indicated that is that the average depth of over dredging that we see in the basin area right now?
Some areas are worse than others. I'd say over an average, that's probably about right.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Tracy. Does anyone here from the Tanner Land and Associates that wishes to address? Yes.
Good morning. My name's Tony Collins. I'm the managing member of Tanner's Landing Associates, and I'm here to try to rectify and clarify as much of this as I know how to.
Let me swear you in, then. You swear the testimony shall give me the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth will help you, God.
I do.
Thank you.
I do. I was out of the country on a delayed honeymoon, which I don't ask for any sympathy for that, but that's just where I was. I was in Portugal. I was having a much better time there than when I got back here to find out what had transpired. But upon returning on April the 10th or the 11th, that Monday after my holiday vacation, I drove by the site and I saw the barge equipment there because I drive by there about every day. And I did know Chris McCoy, one of our neighbors, had also was going to try to coincide his efforts along with our project. So I really didn't think much of it. And a couple of days later, I received a call from Fred Lemon, said that there had been a visit. I think Tracy had visited the job site out there, at which time we had realized that all these violations had occurred. And not to plead ignorance, I'm here to take full responsibility for my part. And I will state that this is the first waterfront pier and dredging that I've been involved with as a developer. And I would have to say that I was caught by surprise that part of the project had even begun, because I was aware in the schedule that it was hopefully going to be in July and August towards the latter stage of the project before that portion would be done. I did know the permit for the royalty was on my desk to be executed. I had conversations with Mr. Grab and Tracy as far as making a one-time royalty. All I had to do was get a check processed and get it down to their office, which I overnighted it, the package, and once I found out that permit was not in place, I expedited that as quickly as possible, and I think she will agree with that. She did call me and said that she had visited the site along with the lady with the core, Cotner, Ms. Audrey Cotner, and that had expressed the concern of the violations, and I says, well, I will call the contractor and find out what happened, and that's when I talked to Wade Thomas, which, as she stated, was their first experience in the dredging portion of any type of job that they've done, and he was under the impression that he had the permits that were needed, even though, as Tracy outlined, the stuff was on the permit. I can't deny or defend that at this point. I really didn't see in detail all the permits because I had handed this over to the professionals, you know, not to escape any responsibility, but I had professional engineers, a contractor, and a professional subcontractor. I can't get involved in every single detail in every single phase of the project. So I really was unaware that there were any. I did know that the VMRC permit had not been issued. And once I was aware that the dredging had started, then I realized that I had a concern there and an obligation to get the permit expedited. I did so absolutely right away. And then we got Wade involved, and we had conversation with Tracy and tried to find a resolution that tried to cut off as much damage maybe that could have been incurred. I did talk to Wade Thomas, and I said, well, Wade, you know, what's going on? I talked to site superintendent. And I was unaware that the dredge material had been diverted to Hickerson Buchanan as opposed to Craney Island. Like I said, I was not aware of all the intricate details of the dredging operation. I was not, like I say, between Tom Langley, MEB, and the contractor, I would assume I wouldn't have to worry too much about that. They're the professionals at doing this. But once I found out that was a concern, I called Tracy, and she said something, you know, about stopping the work, and then I called the superintendent and called Wade Thomas, and basically they were within a day or so of just finishing the job and getting their equipment out of there. And I guess I told Tracy, I said, well, you know, the damage has been done. You know, I just seen them finish where they are, and I think I did I told her that at this point I'd just like them to just finish up and get their equipment out of there. Within a few days, they were gone. And then since then, we've been meeting on site with Tracy, Audrey Cotner, Tidal Wetlands. We met out there with them, and we're just now trying to rectify everything as cooperative as we can. And I think we've been very cooperative and responsive in light of all the unfortunate circumstances. So,
now, what other speakers do we have for your with you?
Well, Tom Langley's here. Wade Thomas is here. Mr. Salmons is here, and the
all three of them want to speak.
Well, they've signed up to speak. I mean, I would like to clarify their position.
Well, what I'd like to do, Commission, what I'd like to do is hear from all of them before we get into our question.
All I can tell you is truthfully what I was made aware of and when it happened in the sequence of events. And as an owner and as a qualified developer as well as MEB, their qualified contractor, and, we just, like I say, the biggest fault I think happened is just a breakdown of communication. And what precipitated all of this is the acceleration of the schedule initiated by maybe Salmons or whatever, that they could get in and get this done a few months ahead of time. And I think Wade made the best business decision he could. Well, if he can get in there and get this part of the phase done, you know, it could help the project down the road. And it was just something that was precipitated by a window of opportunity. And that's really what created all this mess, because they had gone on schedule. Everything should have fallen into place. Right. As far as the pre-dredge conference and all those other issues that had to be adhered to, I'm unaware of those. And again, I have to defer to the professionals to all take care of their responsibility.
Let's hear from them, and then we may want to ask you some questions. Okay. Thank you very much. I'd like to ask you to stand, the ones that would like to speak, and I'll swear you all in at one time. And you swear the testimony shall give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth shall help you, God. Thank you. All right. Who wants to go first? Just state your full name for the record. Tom, good to have you.
My name is Tom Langley, Langley McDonald Engineers. Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, I'll be brief. My involvement here was to secure the permits. Preferably, I'd like to follow the project through construction as well. In this case, the owner opted not to engage our services after permits were approved. As Tracy said, the permit was sent to me as the agent. I forwarded it to Mr. Collins, and that was the end of our services on the project.
Thank you very much. All right. Yes, sir.
Good morning. I'm Robert Wade Thomas. I'm the project manager for Mid-Eastern Builders. My extended what happened was I was the contractor who contracted through Flint Construction with Jim Salmons Incorporated. We had a schedule on the project to be done in August for the dredging operation. I gave the Corps of Engineers permit through Flint Construction. They gave me a recommendation to use Mr. Salmons. They gave the permit to Mr. Salmons. I saw the permit, knew the permit required certain dredging requirements. The permit was given in November. Turned around, we didn't have contact with Mr. Salmons until April. At the time he made us contact us about pricing of doing the dredging, we made a drastic and a poor judgment on our part of assuming that he had all the proper permits and that he knew exactly what needed done to do to the dredging. I turned around and then released him based on the amount and based on the time that he could get in expeditiously to get the dredging done. When we released him to do the work, drastic poor judgment that he knew what he was doing and that we would have a reliable contractor to do the work. Mr. Collins notified me immediately, of course, when he got back in town that there was a problem with the VMRC permit and that we had not applied for that permit. When he told us to stop, we immediately stopped. And, of course, at that point in time, you've heard everybody else's discussion. You've heard staff's timeline of events. They contact us. We've been really going out of our way to try to help them come to a resolution on this. It's a big embarrassment for MEB, for me personally. We try to do everything per the law and per regulations, and we absolutely just dropped the ball on this one. Had I even taken 15 minutes of my time and read the permit before the man started, I would have stopped him because it wasn't exactly what the permit called for. That's the situation from our end of it. We'll do anything, of course, that needs to be done for the restoration, for the wetlands. We meet with the city of Norfolk in June. We have to go before the board there and talk to them. I've been in contact with Audrey Cotner with the Corps, and I'll be in contact with her, I'm sure, with what they require also. I'll take any questions from anybody who wants to know.
Thank you very much. All right.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, I'm Ben Flint, Flint Construction. We are the contractor hired by MEB to build the piers. We wanted you to know that, be very clear, that we do not do dredging. We are not in the dredging business. We only build piers and bulkheads. And that our only involvement in this was that MEB asked us for recommendations on several dredging contractors who do this type of work, residential contractors. We gave several names to MEB. And as far as we know, that's where it all ended. So we're not involved with the hiring of Salmons or any other dredging contractor. Just wanted to make sure the commissioner understood that.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I'm Jim Salmons with Salmons Incorporated. We were shown a set of plans by Flint Construction. He had no involvement in this project other than the bulkhead, I understand. And it was a copy of, a Army Corps permit. And it had on there that the material had to be sent to Craney Island. And we were hired by MEB for this project. And I told MEB at that time that we could not do this because we're not set up to go to Craney Island. I told him that it had to go by truck to Higginson Buchanan. And he said that'd be fine, just hold on for a while. And 2 or 3 weeks later, they called because he said the permits weren't right at that time or something to that gist. And so a couple weeks later, they called us back, sent us a contract showing us where to, you know, put our mats down to offload by truck and all that. I will certainly tell you that looking back on the whole situation, I don't feel like that they were at fault any more than any other party. I look at my own ignorance in this case for not taking and actually seeing the physical permit myself. I relied on somebody else, and that has got us where we're at today. And we did not try to do anything intentionally wrong. We've never been before this board before in the years we've been dredging. And I just want to work out what we can to get it straight.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to address the commission on this issue? This is a restoration hearing. I've been advised by counsel. Do you have a direct
factual involvement
in this case?
Well, I live in the city of Norfolk, and I have a direct concern with respect to what's happened and how this has evolved.
It's the same as any other citizen.
As much as I'd like to hear from you, based on the advice from counsel, since this is a restoration hearing, and we'll have to...
Thank you, Mr.
I'll give you an opportunity in public comments to speak on any subject that's on your mind. All right. Commission members, you have heard from the staff. You've seen the presentation. You've seen the evaluation. And you've heard from the principals involved. I now place the matter before the commission.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Garrison and then Dr. Jones.
I'd like to ask Mr. Salmons a question. Would you come up, please?
Maybe several questions.
Yes, sir.
In your past, how long have you been in the dredging business?
About 3 or 4 years.
Have you had pre-construction conferences before you dredged?
In most cases, yes, sir. Not all of them.
In most cases, you've had pre-construction conferences.
Yes, sir.
And you knew that you needed one before you dredged, right?
Well, in this case, I thought that it had already happened with the general contractor, whereas we were a subcontractor. Most of the time, in fact, this is the first time we've been a subcontractor, I think, in one.
When you dredge, do you look on the post and see if there's a VMRC permit posted?
Well, a lot of times we don't see the permits, but in this case, I relied, and I'll be first to admit, I should have followed up on it more. I just thought that everything was straight. I thought that the time lapse from the time that they told us they weren't ready to the time they called and said to come on, I thought everything had been gotten straight. And it wasn't, evidently.
And when Mr. Collins called you on April the 17th, and
I have never seen Mr. Collins before today.
Okay. Who'd you call on April 17th? Okay. All right. But you knew... that that you need a pre-construction conference. Is that right?
I know that you're supposed to have pre-construction conference, but I thought that had all been taken care of by the general contractor.
All right.
And it apparently they're inexperienced with it. You know, they didn't know, and I was relying too much on them. If I'm guilty of anything, I was guilty of relying on everybody else.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Dr. Jones and then Ms. Fox.
What I noticed isn't in the record is any evaluation from VIMS, and I'd like to ask VIMS a few questions.
Dave?
Hi, Dave. Yeah, I've gone through the package, and I did not see anything. And I guess I have a couple of questions in terms of the ramifications. There's 582 cubic yards that have been excavated beyond what was permitted. And in addition to that, what concerns me is that 60-foot-wide access channel. And I wanted to know, in the opinion of Vince, what kind of impact that has to have excess excavation and specifically that channel?
Dr. Jones, I have to first state that I've not been to the site, so I cannot speak with any experience having the benefit of been there. Todd Herbert of our office works in Norfolk, and he's currently on vacation. So. Regarding the impacts that occurred, based on the dimensions that Tracy has provided, you're talking just over a quarter of an acre of both subaqueous and intertidal wetland habitat. Based on the photographs that I see, it appears like the shoreline is a mixture of rubble and some opportunistic, maybe Spartina alternata flora and some salt bush. So obviously impacts to vegetated wetlands have occurred in the dredging of the unauthorized channel. We certainly try to avoid impacts to those habitats to the greatest extent possible. The impacts associated with the dredging are obviously an increase in, temporary increase in turbidity of the water column, so a decrease in water quality for a period of time. And then you're left with a channel that is through what is probably, you know, on low tides, a mud flat. So that's creating a disturbance to that nearshore habitat as well.
Does it pose a risk of further further deterioration of the shoreline?
Typically, we extend a buffer from the dredge cut out four times the depth that the cut has of the dredge cut itself, and consider those impacts as well, potential secondary impacts. So there could be potential secondary impacts as that channel reaches an angle of repose and some of the adjacent areas are subsequently impacted.
Yeah, my concern there is erosion of the shoreline, further erosion of the shoreline.
Okay. You have any follow-up? Okay. Mr. Fox?
I just had a question for Mr. Salma.
All right, Ms. Salma. Thank you, Dave.
Mr. Salmon, you said that you were not prepared to take the dredge material to Craney Island.
Yes, sir.
Did the contractor know that and know that therefore you were unqualified to do the job?
Well, we told them that we couldn't carry it there, and then our contract came stating, you know, that we would haul it out by truck. And that's why I thought that everything had been gotten straight. But I think that looking back on them, that they just didn't really understand or know the difference. I don't think that when they switched us from barge to truck, I don't think they knew of the implications. I think that they didn't know they had to change something, and I took for granted because of the time lapse that it had been changed. And if that makes any sense to you.
Well, I'm reading in the materials here, there's a fee for disposal at the Craney Island site. Is there a fee for disposal where it was disposed?
Yeah, much higher.
So
much higher by truck.
Was it more expensive to haul by truck than
yes,
it would
sir.
Have been to barge it out to
much
Craney?
Much higher. But we're not set up that we don't do by barge. It actually cost them a little bit more money, which, you know, I made aware. They didn't gain financially by what they did. I mm-hmm. certainly didn't gain financially by what happened. And it just, it's very misfortunate. I thought it was set up that, you know, when we were told where to come ashore, you know, you certainly going to draw a line straight through there. I assumed that had been changed. All the permit had been altered. I mean, I saw the original core. You know, I'm not going to sit here and deny anything. I saw that, you know, what the original, that's why I went to them. I said, we can't do it that way if we're going to do it. A couple of weeks lapsed. I thought they had that, you know, changed so to come in by truck. But they didn't realize that all that needed to be changed. They changed it where we come by truck, but I don't think they realized that they had to have it actually physically changed with y'all.
Now, did you tell them that you would have to dredge a channel to get to the shore because the water was too shallow?
No, sir, I did not. I did not.
You just took it upon yourself to dredge that channel?
It's not that I took it upon myself. I thought when they switched the truck that they and where they showed us to put it, that it would have been changed. And if I'm guilty of anything, it's not seeing the actual permit before the work was done. All I was given is a drawing, the drawing part of the actual work out in the water. And I really cannot see. I've talked to everybody now about it, and I can't see where any party was trying to do anything wrong. And yet, here we all are. And I just want to do whatever my part is to try and make it right. We've had a good relationship with everybody at this point, and I'd like to try and keep it that way.
Any other questions? I'm sorry, Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I actually have a question of Tracy.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Tracy. In your write-up, it indicates that on April 17th, you contacted the applicant and requested that he cease dredging operations until you could assess the situation.
Correct.
And that the applicant declined to do so, stating that dredging was nearly complete. Is it your understanding that not just demobilization, but that actually some dredging occurred after that conversation?
I would expect that it would have had to continue to dredge. I can't say for sure one way or the other because I spoke on the 17th, but I went on the 20th. And at that time, all the equipment was still there, but they were just removing the pallets that they lay on the ground for the trucks to drive over so they don't get bogged down in the mud. They were just removing those as we were walking on site. So I think that's the best I can offer you.
Okay. Then at that point, Mr. Chairman, I would have a question of the applicant.
Okay. Would the applicant come up, please?
Thank you, sir. After that conversation with Tracy, did any dredging occur?
I'm not sure. I just know I talked to Wade Thomas and to the job superintendent, and by the time all this had kind of transpired, he was either demobilizing or finishing within a day of just being complete, and I think a decision was made, I guess, just to let him get out of it, you know, and then reassess the situation and see what we had to do to rectify everything.
Thank you.
All right, any other questions from the commission? Tracy.
Yes, sir.
I'm trying to remember when it was presented to the commission in December of 2005. Your recommendation to the commission, as you state here in this briefing, was that all dredge materials were to be disposed at the Craney Island dredge material area. That's in writing, isn't it?
Yes, sir. That is in their application.
That was part of that permit that the commission approved in December of 2005.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. All right. You've heard the presentations, the matters before the commission for action.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Garrison.
I need a few minutes. I'm not a neophyte in this type of work. I've been in this type of work my whole life. So I've handled dirt and dredging operations of all sorts. I won't go into detail, but I do understand dredging. I understand moving dirt. In 1967, we got Clean Water Acts, Clean Air Acts, Clean Everything Acts. And later on,
the first President Bush on wetlands had no net loss. Now we have no net loss, period. So we just don't deal with mess with wetlands. We have mitigation banks that take the place of wetlands. We have all sorts of ways. When I first saw these rules in the contract admittance years ago, I thought they were perfectly ludicrous. There is a Route 95 south of Petersburg that the environmental concerns cost more than asphalt. So we thought it went overboard. They did not. We built roads in the 60s. We contaminated streams. A lot of our streams no longer function because they were contaminated. And the bottom line in highway work was to keep the silt on the project. And the bottom line in dredging is to obey the rules. I guess VDOT maybe invented pre-construction conferences. We always have them. And we have final inspections, the same thing we ask you to do. So if you're a contractor, you are obligated to have a pre-construction conference with DMRC and the Corps if they chose to come before you hit a lick. Mr. Salmon, you said you'd had some, so you were familiar with having pre-construction conference. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion of recommended fines for Tanner Landing Associates and others. The permit fee, I'd like to ask for staff recommendation of the triple permit fee fine of $300. The second fine would be the unauthorized dredging of the 2,401 cubic yards materials, triple fee at $4,321.80. A fine to the owner, to Tanner's Landing, Mr. Tony Collins, a fine for not ceasing to dredge on April 12th when notified by staff of $10,000. To Salmon's Dredging Company, dredging material placed in the wrong area, not Craney Island, $10,000. Illegal excavation of a barge overloading 582 yards at $10,000. I based that on what VM said, 1/4 acre, and our current restoration of wetland runs from $40,000 to $75,000 per acre. So I took the lower of that to arrive at that $10,000 figure, plus the 582 yards at $20 a yard. Number four, request that the commissioner inform the Virginia State Board of Contractors of the performance of Salmon Dredging Company on this project.
Is there a second to that motion?
Mr. Chairman, I'll second it for purposes of discussion.
Seconded by Mr. Robbins. Further discussion to the motion?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Robbins.
Thank you. If I could just get the maker of the motion to clarify the schedule of fines, the $4,321 and the first $10,000 were to... Was that to the permittee?
Yeah. There were three recommendation fines to Tanner's Landing with Tony Collins. First, the $300. The second, the unauthorized dredging at triple damages of $4,321.80. And the third, when they got the phone call for not ceasing the dredge on April the 12th, notified by staff. Nobody can clarify exactly where that stood at that point in time. But when she was notified, she should have got a return phone call at that point from all parties involved saying, whoa, right there.
A follow-up to Mr. Robbins' question, Mr. Garrison. Is that $14,621 to the
yes, sir.
Applicant?
Yes, sir. $14,621.80.
Okay.
And if I may, Mr. Chairman?
80 cents.
And if I may, to clarify the two fines that you're proposing to levy against or penalties against Salmon's Dredging, the first $10,000 is for improper disposal.
Yes, sir.
And failure to comply with the permit. And the second $10,000, can you clarify the second $10,000?
Yes, sir. The second $10,000 is for the illegal excavation. I think there's a thing, the length and width of that. VM said that would measure about 1/4 acre on the illegal slot he made. So 1/4 acre is 582 yards. Tracy got an expert to come up with that figure of 582 yards of the excavation he made for the barge overloading facility. He picks it as a slot up in the side of the bank, which was in wetland areas, as the staff explained. And the average cost of mitigated wetlands runs from $40,000 to $75,000 an acre. I think Mr. Langley, some expert, could verify that cost of mitigation of wetlands.
VIM says about a quarter of an acre. I arrived at $10,000 and the 582 yards that Tracy estimated over and above that to put that barge up on the highland, I guess you'd call it, or inside the wetlands, and arrived at finding that figure, making the total Simon's dredging of $20,000.
Does everybody understand that last $10,000 was just explained?
Mr. Chairman, I think I do, but I don't know that I don't know that I agree with a cubic yard conversion into acres and so forth. I think there may be maybe an issue there. I think at this point I would offer a offer an amendment to the motion such that the fine I agree with the fines levied against the permittee. However, the fines levied against the or penalties proposed against the salmon's dredging, I would propose that they be amended to $10,000 for improper disposal and $5,000 for the illegal excavation.
Is there a second to the substitute?
Again, I'm going to second it for sake of discussion.
Seconded by Dr. Jones. Before we have a call for further discussions, did VIMS want to comment on anything that's been said? Dave?
Mr. Garrison, I would like to just clarify my earlier statements on the quarter acre. That was based on the dimensions that Ms. West provided.
Right.
And that includes both subaqueous bottom habitat and wetlands. So I do not know exactly a square footage or acreage of just the wetlands themselves.
I think that's the point that Mr. Robbins was addressing there. Yeah. I think that's what that was. But I'll let him comment if he'd like to. Mr. Robbins?
I think there was some question there about trying to convert the exact cubic yardage into a penalty schedule. I'm more comfortable simply assessing a fixed penalty of $5,000 for that activity. That is the illegal excavation of that channel.
So your total,
Mr. Garrison,
your total fine was $15,000.
Yes, sir.
And can I get clarification too?
All right, Dr. Jones.
Because I did second it for
yes.
Point of discussion. In terms of the improper disposal, Solomon's says that they were not aware that they were supposed to be putting this on Craney Island. But it's my understanding that they put it on a reputable and correct disposal site.
That's my understanding. Tracy, is that your understanding?
I mean, this is not dumped on the street someplace.
Right. Yes,
this,
ma'am.
This was, in fact, taken someplace.
Yes, ma'am. That is my understanding that the material was disposed of at Higgerson Buchanan, which is a site that is used frequently for dredging materials that are not contaminated but yet cannot go to Craney. That site is in Chesapeake.
Okay, and explain to me the adequacy or the need for a fine in not doing it to Craney if, in fact, it was disposed of in a correct location.
Should I be addressing that question or should the maker of the motion address that question?
I think the maker of the motion should address that question.
Mr. Chairman, I think I would address it in a couple of ways. I think there are two issues here. One, I think both of these represent substantial departures from the permit. They reflect a lack of a lack of consideration for the permit requirements. There was no pre-dredge conference held in accordance with the permit. There was a failure to adhere to the proper disposal of the dredge spoils, and I think basically it's a severe level of non-compliance with the permit requirements. So I think the fine, to the extent that there's a fine, is appropriate for both of those, and for the fact that there was a substantial departure from the dredge area. There was a proposed dredge basin that was permitted by this commission, and then a large illegal channel was excavated that was significantly different than what was permitted. So there are really several issues, but I think the fine would be appropriately levied against Salmon's for the combination of those items, specifically failure to hold a pre-dredge conference, failure to dispose of the spoils properly, and illegal dredging of a channel.
All right. Everyone understand the substitute motion that's before you, Mr. Fox, and then Mr. Garrison.
based on the motions as they stand before us right now, it would appear that MEB is receiving no fine. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me that MEB, according to the testimony, was responsible for telling Salomon that to go ahead and put that channel in there and offload it to trucks and take it somewhere else. And so it would appear to me that MEB is also deserving of some fine in the matter, since they were they had some liability for the...
Let me get that point addressed. Tracy, or can, sir, could you do that? All right, come up here to the microphone, please. State your name again. For the
Robert Wade Thomas, project manager, MEB.
Ms. Thomas, how can you respond?
I can clear that up very well. I never once, or anybody in MEB never said to Mr. Salomon, you can dredge this way. You can offload the trucks. You can put dunnage up. You can barge to the shore. None of that was ever discussed. Mr. Salomon called me on the day that he gave me his permit, and his comment to me was, well, if you can get me a better price at another place of disposal, I'm taking it to Hickerson Buchanan site. Now, I've never done dredging before, period. And that's why I hired Mr. Salomon through Flint Construction at their recommendation. I'm not placing blame on them. It was just I thought I hired a reputable dredging contractor who knew the rules and regulations. Same I would do for a sprinkler contractor, mechanical contractor, plumber, who's working under the business of the building construction. So to have Mr. Salomon say that we told him to take this material here is just not true. He offered it that he was taking it there. The only problem, the only fault that I have, which I'll be more than happy to say is my fault, because I didn't pull that permit back up the day he said that and go back through that permit and realize that Craney Island was where it was supposed to be dredged. So it was a matter of just a phone call, a 10-minute discussion on the phone, is how I knew Mr. Salomon was taking it to Hickerson Buchanan. I'd like to address one more thing, if I can, please. Mr. Collins and Mr. Langley did contact us. I got an email from Mr. Langley's office. Mr. Collins did contact us about the dredging, and when he said we have a problem, the dredging had stopped. There was no further dredging of the channel. There was mobilization happening and demobilization. I know that we corrected some of the silt fence that had been knocked down for erosion control measures. So at the time that staff contacted Mr. Collins, and I don't know their phone conversation, but when they contacted us, we stopped. And the dredging had already been finished of the channel and of the area where the piers and mooring piles were going to go. That had been already been done.
All right. Thank you.
Question.
All right. Mr. Fox.
So when you hired Mr. Salomon, you were not aware, I'm not afraid that's right, but were you aware that he was incapable of taking the dredge material to Craney Island?
I was not aware of that. In fact, I called him after this all came about, and in a conversation, it's May now, end of April, I asked him, and he says he wasn't capable at that time. He told me, we weren't capable of taking it to Craney Island, because I asked him, why did you take it to Craney Island? And he says, we aren't set up to do that. And that's when he told me he wasn't.
So basically, he was not qualified for the job as the job was initially laid out.
I can't answer that.
No.
You want to ask him a question?
No, I just wanted to clarify.
All right, thank you, sir. All right, now, back to the substitute motion that's before us.
That's fine, but can I clarify 2 points?
Yeah, sure.
First, Mr. Fox and our work through the years, the owner is the first responsible party, always.
Right.
So the owner should have known what he was doing. Second, the man actually doing the work, Simon's dredging, is a responsible party. This middleman, MEB, he let it out. He's got some responsibility, too. I don't think he did anything fine with us. Dr. Jones, on your question about the that you had a while ago on the excavation where it went to Biggs McCannon, I checked that out with Tracy yesterday. That long as that excavation, like you said, wasn't dumped on the street, I was clear. That was put in a approved landfill area, so I had no problem with where it was disposed of. The fact that it was done disturbing the wetlands was my concern.
All right. Substitute motion. calls for $14,621.80 to the applicant and $15,000 to Salmon Dredging Company.
And also, item four, is the substitute motion leave item four in the substitute
I believe item four is the complaint to the Virginia Contracting Board?
Yes, sir.
Yes, that's fine.
All right, that's in. All in favor of the substitute motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstention? The motion carries. So, Carl, they need to get with staff. The applicant needs to get with staff and the as well as the dredging contractor, and they'll work this out. In case you don't accept this, then we have to forward it to the Attorney General's office for further enforcement. So you get with staff and make a decision on whether you want to accept this action. And thank you all for your patience. This took a good while, but we're moving right along. The next item on the agenda is 7 Robert DeFord. Item Harborview, as you know, was carried over for a month. Yes, sir. This is Elizabeth River and Virginia Beach Park.
Good morning, Commissioner Pruitt, members of the commission.
Good morning.
Hopefully this won't be as complicated as the previous case.
All right. Take your break, but leave me a quorum. Lawyer can go.